You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Carter, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Me, Mark, will unmute myself out.
Out of the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his thigh's knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party gonna hell. Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Marco Bill. And again, Tom is not couldn't make it to the show. He's ill. So I'll get a status of what's going on here. But he was under the weather here for the last couple of days. We have some, I'll tell you, I just want to thank all the listeners. You guys are sending emails in, and the Bigfoot Hotline is, my God, it's busy this year, more than ever before. Actually, we had two guests that were supposed to be on tonight. They won't because of their different areas of the country that the weather has interfered with the telephone system. And one of them was in Tennessee. Evidently, his phones were out, so I couldn't put them on earlier today because I didn't know when they were going to have them back up. And then the other was in Michigan, and she was supposed to be our first guest tonight, but she won't be on because she sent me an email here just a little while ago. Their phones are down, and she couldn't, and they're having all kinds of problems with their phone systems. But anyway, that's okay. I've got Tim from New York to fill in. And we haven't heard from him for a while. And we have, of course, a cast of our guests on tonight to talk about activities and things in their area. One of the things I'd like to say, I guess I'd like to just inform everybody about before we start the show. A good friend of ours, Joe, has been trying to listen to the radio show for a while now, and he's only been able to listen to the archive. There may be many other people out there the same thing. When I first rearranged what we call our streams are our different channels that we use the radio show to stream out on, I had used a link, and a lot of people didn't like it because it wasn't the same as it was before, so I removed it. But that particular link had the capability of using all kinds of different browsers and also different players, iPods, the whole nine yards. Well, I've reinstated that link, and it's a, you know, you can use it if you want. You don't have to. If you can listen to the radio the normal way, on all you have to do is go up on www.bigfootlive.com, and you'll look at the table of contents, and you'll see now home is stream one, and then there's a stream two. That's a backup stream. And then on the very bottom, you're going to see another area that says a stream for all, you know, different kinds of browsers and media players. And that stream, if you have other than a, you know, other than a Microsoft browser, you know, Chrome and a bunch of the other ones, you should be able to listen to the show with those using that link. It's a different... a different player, a different way it's hooked up. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there, and we'll keep that up. If anybody out there does not or knows somebody that can't listen to the show, just have them either get in the guest book or send me an email, anything. I try to help everybody I can to if they're having problems trying to do that. I send links to them. I'll even call you and go through it with you. If you're having really bad problems and things, it's not a problem. I'd like to make sure that our listeners are capable of listening to the show when they want to. And so just let me know, and I'll try to do everything I can to get you so you can listen to the show. Take care now, and I want to thank Joe for sending that email in and let me know that was an issue, because I didn't know it was an issue. And it was, and I think maybe many of you out there will be able to do that. Let's start the show out right tonight. Let's go out there to New York and take a look at our good friend Tim. Tim, how are you, my friend?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
I just got a couple things for the Bigfoot community, because I know you have a big audience here, you know. First of all, that New York weather's down here has been so bad. It's like Michigan and everywhere else, you know. We've been trying to get up in the hills, and we just can't get up there. It's just mud and slush. So it's very hard to get up there, and I'm predicting now I'm not even going to be able to attempt to get up in the hills until at least April, around here, April, May. I mean, Bill, the weather's just so bad up here.
Oh, no, I understand that. I'm a Minnesota guy from originally, and you get around in the springtime, and we used to even have mud vacation for school.
Oh, my God, it's terrible. I just got two things real fast. And we talked about this, what, a year ago, about that new reality show, Spike TV?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. As everybody knows, Spike TV is bringing out a new Bigfoot reality show called the $10 Million Bigfoot Bounty, where they said you would have to go in the woods to get evidence of Bigfoot and bring it out, you win the $10 million. I found out a couple weeks ago you have to actually kill Bigfoot to get the $10 million. Now, Bill, here's the kicker. It's true. Now, Bill, here's the kicker. And you warned me about this, right? And I was going to be a contestant on the show, everybody. It's true. I did the audition, and I talked to Bill about this. 2 weeks ago, the producers of the show rejected me and canned me from the show, and I was talking to someone about it, and it's because I'm a real Bigfoot hunter. Believe it or not, I'm a real Bigfoot hunter, and I heard they're not looking for real Bigfoot hunters, so you know how this show's going to go. Bill, you did warn me on that, but it's true. Second, I don't want to hold your time up here.
What happens a lot of times on the television programs, the team or whoever it is that's on the air really doesn't have control over what they're doing. The production team, the producers, the people that are paying the money, they pretty much run the show. And they pretty much tell everybody what they want. And they're not usually open to very much, they're not very easily, there's no give leeway on anything that they want to do. Because they're interested totally in solid, what they think is going to bring them lots of listenership and or viewership from the audiences, and of course that's money, and that's what they're in this for. So they don't loosen the reins on anything, and it's a very difficult thing.
Yeah, I would say maybe someone could follow up on me on this. I have never ever seen. We've been American. America was made in 1776. That's what 233 years. I have never seen a dead Bigfoot. Not in America, anyways. But here's a kicker. Our friend Rick Dyer. Did I say that right? His name right?
Yeah.
The one who did the hoax up in with Tom up there with the icebox.
Yeah, Georgia guys.
Yeah. He just came out on the internet on Facebook with some kind of film producer. They are they're saying now that they do have a dead Bigfoot again. Here we go again. Yeah, they found a dead Bigfoot in Las Vegas in the sand. And they're gonna they had a film crew up there and they documented it. And I don't know what they're gonna do with it. But here we go again. You know, stage number two with Dyer. I thought that guy was in jail, wasn't he?
I don't know. I don't even follow him. I mean, he's. I have no interest in the man.
Yeah, I know, but.
He keeps bad mouthing this and stuff. I don't even pay attention to those guys anymore.
Yeah,
I know that what he does is he goes around and tries to coerce people into doing hoaxes. He did that to one of our one of the people that we work with. He had approached him and said, "Hey, well, I'm looking for, people that hunt for Bigfoot, and we're going to do another hoax, and here's what we're going to do, blah blah blah." So, I mean, I don't even listen to a thing he does.
Yeah, here it goes again. You probably hear about it. It's just a shame and disgrace that even everybody on this radio show. I know everybody, all the guests in here, they're real Bigfoot hunters, and they're very concerned about Bigfoot and all that, and then we got these people going around just, trying to kill Bigfoot and doing the fake videos and all that. And it really gives everybody, it gives us a bad name in the Bigfoot community, that's just the way it is, I guess, with these people. They're just going to do whatever they can. I personally don't see why they're even doing it. I mean, if you're searching for Bigfoot or you have a sighting and all that, and, I honor that, but if you're just under what Rick Dyer's doing now and the rest of them,
I'm not gonna badmouth anybody on the radio show, but I just don't pay attention to him anymore because I already know what his character is, and personally, I just don't want to have anything to do with anything that he does, and I'm from experience, I know what he does, and so I just I stay away and. They can say everything they want about us. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't, throw stones. And I don't have a glass house. It bounces right off.
Well, anyways, I'm gonna take my mouth because I want to hear the show and get some get to see what's going on in America with everybody else. So I'll keep you guys informed. What's going on? Like I say,
Have you heard of anything going on up there, Tim?
Huh?
Have you heard of anything going on up there?
I like you, I get reports now and then, but the problem is I'm getting the reports a couple of weeks kind of late,
Well, that's okay. I mean, what kind of reports are you getting?
The good news I have right now is that they had a setting up on Connecticut Hill, where we do a lot of research, and the good thing about that is that New York State ran out of funds, so Connecticut Hill is not what it used to be, hiking and camping and all that. So I'm going to get people together, and when we get the opportunity to get in and get out of here, and you know the weather gets better, we get up there, I'm going to definitely search for the Beast of Connecticut Hill up there, and hopefully I'll come up with something.
And, okay.
I'll keep you guys informed what's going on, you know. But,
keep in touch.
The weather's just killing everybody up here right now. And
I understand. It is in a lot of areas.
But no, that's good. That's good because it keeps the humans out of the, it keeps people out of the forest and all that. So maybe Bigfoot would start roaming around, and you know we get some sightings, you know, going. You know, so it's promising. It's promising. So I'll keep you informed what's going on.
Well, thanks, Tim. I appreciate it, and I'll keep in contact with you.
Yeah, I'm just going to gap it now because I want to hear what's going on with your other guests.
You got it, my friend, and thank you for coming on for a few minutes to let us know everything.
Yeah, sometimes I hope it gets better, you know.
Yep, take care.
All right, thank you, Bill.
Bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Tim from New York, and we're going to go to a little commercial here, and we'll be right back.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back. We're back. Well, before we go to our next guest, let me say something about Jamie was supposed to be on tonight. She's from Michigan, and she sent some photographs. And if you go up on the radio show page, www.bigfootlive.com, and what's on this week type page there, you'll see there's some pictures. She has three different pictures of some footprints that was in her backyard there, and she's going to be on next week to tell us, you know, all about them and everything. She had phone problems tonight. So anyway, so you can take a look at the pictures and prepare yourself for next week. Next, we're going to go out here to Arkansas to Chris. Chris, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Marco?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Well,
tell us.
You've had an interesting week with callers.
Say again?
I said you've had a lot of callers this week.
Oh, yeah. Well, every week I've had a lot of callers. There's actually I had six or seven calls just in the last 3 days. But, you know, a lot of people don't want to, you know, they don't want to come on the show. They're kind of scared to come on the show because of all the crap they've taken from their family and stuff already. So what they do is, but I talk to them and, you know, later on, they change your mind. They can do that. And but we talk to everybody, and if they ask questions, we answer them. We help them out.
And I tried to send you that email with that the picture of that tree that I was talking about. It looks like, you know, it looked like someone was taking chunks out of it. And it wouldn't send. But I will tell you that it's, you know, that I understand why you're getting a lot of calls, because I mean, things haven't slowed down. There's a, if y'all, when Tom ever gets down here, when he goes out there and he gets to see for himself and Rocky, and he'll know that there's areas out there where, like, probably, I don't know how many, you know, decades ago probably that they were put out there, but there's like little, like old model car, like, you know, fenders and stuff like that, you know, that were probably just left out there when they were building that area up a long time ago. And there was one right by the pipeline around where I parked my truck when I get out to go look around the marsh, and when I go put out the peanut butter, and it's not too far off the pipeline. But when me and my buddy went back out there to check where I'd been baiting at, it had been drug out of the woods. There wasn't no tire tracks or nothing like that, you know, and something would have had to been dragging it. This was, you know, this is like pieces of car, like it's, you know, frame and all, like out there and dragging it out of the woods out to the pipeline.
Oh, wow.
And it was, so, I mean, it I don't know if it was trying to, no, I don't know what it was doing, you know, or I don't know why somebody would do it. Let's put it like that. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, let's call it what it is. The creature might have moved the piece of the car, but because I know nobody went out there and grabbed that piece of car and pulled it out there for no reason and just left it there. Because, I mean, it's so old and rusted. I mean, it wouldn't be worth anything at a scrap metal yard or anything like that. So, but yes, yeah, so, I mean, things have slowed down around here. I'm still out there looking at least 2-3 times a week. You know, when they say that it's not that easy to find footprints out there, I have to make one in my area, like Tom, you know, y'all talked to me about clearing out an area with leaves and stuff and softening up the soil. I've got the perfect area I found last time I went out there that I'm going to do that at, where the soil is already so soft in the area. All I really got to do is just clear the leaves out of there. When it walks through there, it's going to leave the print. So.
Yeah, and you know, you bait the area and stuff like that, but you got to find an area where you're sure that they're going through. You know, it has to be, you know, it's an area where you're sure that the creatures are in and around. You have evidence of that, and then set it up for that. You know, set it up, and we've done that several times. It works pretty good. I mean, it seems to. Another one of the other tricks. That I used to use. We had a lady that in Texas that had them coming up on our porch, and so we had her take some flour and just spread it out on the porch, you know, a little dust it, and it left little rocks and gifts on the porch, and would take what she left out, the food and stuff she left out, and she wanted to know whether or not, you know, what kind of animals or animal was it that was taking it? Was it a Bigfoot or was it a small animal, a raccoon or something? And so she put the sprayed it or sprinkled it with flour, and by gosh, what do you know? Big old footprint. So it's pretty neat. Works. All right.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the weather warming up just a little bit more, and it'll be about perfect weather. It's still a little chilly out here, and the marsh is a little bit too flooded to really get out there and do some good searching right now, but the area is so localized almost, how the woods are set up between, because like I said, right outside the city limits is where it's at, and it's so like you know, there's pipelines and high lines that they could get anywhere they wanted to go to a different area, you know, without having to really get around houses that close. But this area right here, I mean, I don't think I've been in a little area around there that I haven't, you know, at least seen some kind of tree formation or some type of sign that made me believe that, you know, they have moved through there. So, I mean, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to imagine it would be. It's, you know, what I want to know is, we had you on there a couple, maybe 3 shows ago, and you were out in the woods, and you didn't have any lights on or anything, and something was throwing rocks at you.
Yeah, while I was on the show, yeah.
yeah, while you're on the show.
Yeah.
And I never did find out all the, what happened. I mean, you know, you guys were walking, and you could I guess one was right in front of you, and the other was behind you. Why don't you give me a little run through? What happened? What did you find out? Did you find anything out about that?
Well, when we went out there, you remember we went out there, and I was actually listening to the show, and I had the phone up to my ear. I couldn't find my Bluetooth, so I just had my phone like rigged with my toboggan and my face mask like up around my face so it wouldn't move. And me and my buddy were just sitting up beside the tree, and and it started sounding like something was walking over, you know, to our right, and we were being real still, and he was like, it's always, it was also like the only second time he'd ever been out there with me, first time ever at night, and he was like, do you hear that? And I was like, yeah, it's always cool when the other person that's ever been out there, they call it, you know, they're like, you hear them footsteps, and yeah, and when it stopped, it starts like something over maybe on the left side, so behind, on the opposite side of us was walking, and he was like, now it sounds like it's on the other side of us, and I was like, yeah, it does, doesn't it? And you know, I'm kind of like getting him excited, and then about that time, something like hit and bounced, and then we heard something move like in front of us, and when I mean it hit and bounced, it wasn't like something fell out of a tree. It was like something had direction, like it was coming from an angle, and then something else hit, but it was like it came from the other way. You could hear where it hit and where it bounced to, you know, that it came from the opposite direction. And, you know, we were freaking out, and it was when the show got about wound down, one got really close to me. It landed, you know, probably about a foot from my foot. And when it bounced, you know, the second time, and we got up, we were going towards it, and, you know, the show was winding down. You had to go to the next guest, but I kept going. And we started walking back towards the pipeline, like trying to cut it off. And I think it outsmarted us a little bit. I mean, you know, it was nighttime. We didn't have we were moving through the woods with no lights, no red light on our head or nothing. We were just moving and trying to just, you know, look, catch the moonlight just right so we could see where we were walking. And we could hear something when we'd stop to try to look to step over something or go, you know, in between some vines or something. We could hear something still moving when we weren't moving. And we got all the way back out to the pipeline, and we walked probably about 10 foot up the pipeline towards the road, and it, once again, it was like the same style noise that I heard the first time we had the encounter. It broke through the woods and ran back in the direction towards the woods. But, you know, we didn't see anything, but it definitely wasn't a deer or anything like that. By the amount of noise it made when it was running back into the woods, it sounded like something very large was moving through back deeper into the woods. I mean, it was really kind of cool to hear that twice, because that's the second time I've actually got to hear the actual force behind the movement when it's spooked or when it thinks we're getting too close or, you know, or something like that. It's really impressive, because it's also kind of scary, because I also know if it decided it wanted to come the opposite direction and come towards me, it would have no problem, you know, getting there.
Right.
Yeah, I'd have to stay on the trail in the woods trying to move in the area where I could just move through. It would make its own trail.
Well, a little infrared might help too, you know.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, I do use a red light when I go out there, you know, most of the time. But because we were on the show and I wanted to try to get the best experience possible, you know, and try to get, you know, maybe a vocalization on the show. I don't know if y'all be able to pick it up unless they were, you know, right up on us. I mean, we had a real nice vocalization too, Marco. I can't believe I was going to forget this. I'm glad I said something, but we heard a hoot owl, like a barred owl, and my buddy answered back to the owl, just playing with the owl, and then we got a nice like woo 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 woo, like nice little hoot, like whoops, like. Four of them, like from, I'd say, so like it wasn't no further than about 50 or 60 yards from us. Yeah, I mean, wow. It wasn't real, real loud, but we could hear it good.
Jeez. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I'm all out there, and, you know, I'm like, they've got to know that I'm out here walking around, you know, and they're like, I bet that's that dumb dude again coming out here leaving peanut butter.
Well, I think they're out there. I think they're always out there. They know who's in their territory.
Yeah.
Like
they probably
any other
laughing
animal
at me
that's
by
out
now.
There, deer or anything. They're aware of what they're doing.
I done fell down and hurt myself and fell out of trees. I know
wow.
They probably think I'm retarded.
Oh, gosh. Well, I want to thank you for coming on tonight and talking. We're going to have a little get together at the end of the show here for questions and things like we do, an open forum. And so stay on for that.
I enjoy it. I think that was a good addition to the show. And
okay,
and Tom, if you're listening, man, the website's good, man. It's really nice. It really is.
Well,
super. It's nice to the eyes. It's good to look at.
Well, good. I'm glad. I'll let him know that. Thank you very much,
Marco.
Chris. We'll see you at the end of the show here. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's Chris from Arkansas. Our next guest is Dave from Four Corners, New Mexico. Dave, how are you tonight?
Hey, doing good there, Marco Bill. Yeah.
Well, why don't you tell us, what's been happening in your area there? Is some of the things that have been going on.
Oh yeah.
How's the weather and things?
Well, the weather's finally starting to moderate a little bit. It's still staying in the teens and the low 20s at night, but we hit 50 degrees for a good amount of the day. Finally, it was cloudy, and it looks like we're going to start having these days in the upper 40s, low 50s from now on. We will have some snow this weekend, though. That's kind of how our weather is during this time of season in February. It'll be warm until we get a storm front, then it'll cool down for snow, and then it warms back up again, reasonably. So, yeah, I like it. It's getting closer to spring.
Well, that's good, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was given a picture here, actually, about 2 weeks ago. It's a local picture, and I was asked not to reveal where it was at, of course. But
sure.
It's an interesting picture, and what it was, it was an ambulance call, medical technician.
EMT?
Right, EMTs.
Emergency medical technician?
Exactly. I just couldn't think of that for a moment. They were called out on a call, I guess, somebody was ailing at a house. So when they were dealing with the patient, I guess that medical personnel went outside, and there was something on top of a little cliff, probably 30 foot higher than the yard of that house that they were at, and there was something black moving around. I kind of think I know where this place is, and there's probably a road right on top there, but there was a black object that was moving. There's two pictures, and you see one kind of behind a juniper, and then you'll see it actually expose itself more into, where you can see some detail. And it definitely looks like a Bigfoot just standing up on top of this ridge. And this is in the daytime. This isn't at night at all. Looks like around two or three in the afternoon. And I ran it through Photoshop, actually, and I could actually see some detail in it. You could see an arm and then chest, and I inverted the photo. And it's pretty interesting. And what's astonishing about this is if I think it's the area it's at, which I've heard basically where it's at, this is only like just a few miles out of town. It's really close by. I mean, it would take me about 6-7 minutes to get there. And it's kind of sobering to see something like this in the day. And previously we had very, very cold weather, like sub-zero weather at night and then just like maybe 10, 15 degrees for a high. And after all that amount of time we had cold, I'm beginning to think that these things are coming closer to civilization looking for food now.
I think you're right. I mean, with all the calls we get, many of the encounters are taking place not, in real rural areas. They're inhabited areas.
Yeah.
I mean, right on the side of a town or...
Yeah.
Or on the, there's a little patch of woods or a swamp or something.
Yeah.
One of them was a couple weeks ago, a call I got was in a swamp that was surrounded by an airfield, an airport.
Oh, wow.
that's pretty close.
Yeah. This photo that I have, I actually took it off of Facebook. It was shown in public, and it's actually from one of our dear friends that lives in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll ask her. Just to be sure that, if I could give it to you. And
sure. Yeah. We don't want to, get permission. And if I like to look at it. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting.
You know something that happened, Dave, just recently? We had a lady on about, a year and a half, 2 years ago, and everybody thought she was crazy. And she wasn't crazy. She just acted, not... she just had a different way of acting and talking, and her personality was a little, not a normal kind of a personality to be forthcoming. And so it made her look like, you know, it made her look funny or weird. I guess people would think that. But actually, she was a photographer, and she went out and took all kinds of pictures. And she had sent me some pictures. And it just so happened about a month ago, I was going through some of these pictures that she sent. And of the things that we looked at, we didn't, you know, we couldn't find anything in them at the time, right? But these pictures are very high res. And so I went and started taking a real high res look. And lo and behold, you will not believe what I found.
Oh.
And there were several pictures of a creature in behind, sitting down behind some rocks with a small tree. I mean, you know, like a bush in back of it. And I found, what, four different pictures that she had had that had, and this, I mean, this was not a, you know, I mean, it was blurry because, not real blurry, but it was blurry because of the, you know, the picture was high res and you had a, you know, the pixels, right? But if you did any kind of a work to it with Photoshop or something to, you know, to replace the pixels, it would come out nice and sharp. And you could actually tell, you could tell the creature. You could tell it was a creature. I mean, it was really fairly clear.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's some really neat stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible.
I know. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's a couple of things that happen. I mean, every once in a while we get, go through some old stuff and we find more stuff. So.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that happened. Anything else happening out there by you?
I might have mentioned this the other week before, but my friend had some police come by. It was about 2 weeks ago, maybe about 2.5 weeks ago. There was a he started hearing some banging, or, you know, knocks on the door about 3 in the morning, and he answered the door, and it was a couple of policemen, local Farmington police. And they asked him if they'd heard any strange noises or seen anything weird, you know, around the area. And he said, no, I sure didn't. And I guess he just didn't want to converse about it. But he told me that he actually did hear some weird noises about a half hour earlier. Yells, a mixture of like coyotes and just screams and kind of just whooping it up type stuff. Oh, he did say he heard whoops. He heard the Bigfoot whoops because I played those to him before. And
yeah.
he lives right close to the San Juan River, probably 150 yards away. And,
wow.
Yeah, and this is like, this is at the very edge of our town, you know, within the city limits. And there's a big neighborhood right behind him, too. It's all basically the whole neighborhood right there. And he,
man.
This isn't the first time something's happened out there, too. And it was about 4 years ago, he told me that him and his dad were raking, his dad lives down on down the driveway, and telling me that there was, they saw three beings or things walking across the river from an island, and the water was flowing really good. It was during the early spring. Water was at 2,500 CFS, which is very strong. It's too strong for a human to cross. But these things
sure.
were walking like it was just a little stream. There was a tall one, a medium one, and a small one walking. And,
wow.
and it was almost completely dark, but they could see these things walking. And the other two walked into this park. That's where, it's like a riverine park and that people go walk around in. And he said that the tallest one, which I guess would be the father possibly, just stood there and started staring. And he says, I just got a creepy feeling. And his dad saw it too. And Daryl, my friend Daryl, said, do you think that's Bigfoot, Dad? And he says, I don't know, but I don't believe in Bigfoot, but I don't know what that is. And
wow.
Last year, I was the same people, the same father had told... told his other son, who's a very good friend of mine too as well, told us that I found these big footprints around my house, but it must be just somebody messing around. And my friend said, well, that's actually Daryl's big brother. And the big brother said, do you think it could be Bigfoot, Dad? He's, oh, no, it's not Bigfoot. It's just somebody walking around with fake big feet. It's like, oh. And then 2 weeks later, they said, gosh, we should have called Dave. Thought about it. He says, yeah, we should call Dave on that one. And, yeah, you should have called me, guys. I wanted to see these, you know, just right behind the house. It's like, oh,
wow.
Man. So these things are creeping around right inside our city limits.
Wow. That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, I want to thank you for coming on tonight and sharing with us. again. And I'm going to meet you out for now, and then we'll kind of come back here in a few minutes, 10 minutes, and we'll have our little forum.
Okay, sounds great, Marco Bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, everybody, that was Dave Ortiz from Four Corners, New Mexico. Out there to the Choctaw Nation in Mississippi, Tyrone, how are you, my friend?
Hello from Choctaw, Mississippi, the capital of Bigfoot.
Yeah, I would say that, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How you been doing, Tyrone?
I've been doing okay. Things have been going A-OK, I guess. I lost my father about a year ago, and it was in December of 2011 when my mother and my niece had an encounter with the creature walking past my mother's house. They watched it for a minute till the creature disappeared, but my father, that was the last conversation I had with my father, was when I went to go visit him at the hospital. He said, Mama saw Bigfoot, you know, and he was, you know, pretty well excited, you know, although he was very weak. And a couple of months later, my dad died, you know. But
oh my gosh,
we have action going on probably mostly every week, you know. Somebody's always telling me about stories about encounters or sightings, and I got to.
Why don't you tell us about a couple of them?
Okay, well, let me tell you. When I first contacted Searching for Bigfoot, and when Searching for Bigfoot with renowned Bigfoot hunter Tom Biscardi came here to do the research, I was often ridiculed, and I was insulted, and people gave me hate emails and all that stuff because they said that I was Native American and I was a drunk and probably on drugs and all that. But, you know, I don't care anymore, you know. And I'm telling the truth, and I'm doing what I feel is right, and I'm true to what I'm doing here as an advocate for, you know, people who has had encounters and sightings. And let me tell you, like I said, there's something going on all the time. And just today, I got a story from, I get stories from people mostly every day now, but today I heard that the lady said from behind her house, you know, there's a muddy area there, and she went over walking around, and she saw these huge footprints in the mud. So she sticks her own feet beside it, and she said this footprints was so huge, you know, and it couldn't be no human beings either because it was long and wide. And she didn't measure it or anything, but you know the way she told it, you know, it was Bigfoot. And the other story was the other lady said a friend of hers who was I think it was a some kind of police officer, some kind of officer, I can't remember, but he was going down to this lonely country road, and he decided that he wanted to stop and, you know, look around, and he got out of the car, and all of a sudden, as he stood there for a minute or two, all of a sudden this smell, this odor came about, you know, and he felt something, come behind him. He said it was hair. His hair just kind of stood up on the back of his neck, and he said, without looking, he said he jumped into the car and left, but He said while he was driving away, he heard a scream. And those are the kind of stories I get mostly every day. So, people like Tom Viscardi who come here, they've been here, I think, 6 times. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to be here again here this month. But I got to tell you, Marco, Bill, Tom Viscardi and his crew wouldn't be coming back and forth here in Choctaw, Mississippi, if they didn't have any evidence, or if they didn't believe there was creatures here. But they've got evidence that creatures are here, and I got to tell you, a friend of mine, me and a friend of mine is talking. So this is right after Tom Viscardi and Chico and Bill and the rest of the Bigfoot crew came through. We were talking about the video that around that area where Tom and them visited and did their research. Anyway, he did some videotaping of his own, a friend of mine here locally. And anyway, he say he inadvertently videotaped the creature in about the same area where the other person had videotaped the creature weeks before. Anyway, I saw that video.
Oh yeah, neat.
I saw that video, and he said, he was telling me, he was studying the video. I said, look, he's going to peek out behind that tree. And sure enough, he peeked out one time, and about a minute or two later, he said, keep on watching it. He's going to peek out again. And sure enough, he peeked out again. So he said, keep on watching it, because you're not going to believe what's going to happen next. So I kept on watching it for about a minute, and then it stepped out from behind all that bushes and behind that tree and got a full video image from behind that tree. So, and this is right after Tom Viscardi and the group came and left, you know. So, you know, if they were here a little longer and did their research a little longer, I bet you anything that they could get more physical evidence, you know.
Oh, sure. Well, one of the things they do, Tyrone, is they have to make up a plan. And we go through different hotspots throughout the United States and Canada. And its action has taken place at the time, and so that it's fresh. And they'll spare no time or anything to get there. And probably 24 hours around the clock just to get there to be able to do that. But they have other appointments that they've made on the way as well. And so sometimes they're limited in how much time they can spend in one area. Now, what he does do and has done is he's had people on the teams left behind to follow up. And we've done that several times. And that may be exactly what we might, you know, have to do again. And but hang in there.
There's a couple of, I understand there's a couple of different hot spots here.
Sure.
For a while, there was a hot spot behind my mom's house. And there's a hot spot where the two videos were taken. But I understand there's a couple of other two hot spots here. So, you know, like I said, I'm getting people to call me or come visit me and tell them, telling me about their encounters and experiences, you know. So this is exciting, you know.
Oh no, I know, I know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I usually call you about at least once a month or every couple of weeks or something just to see how you're doing, and you've never let us down. I mean,
well, you know,
there's
one other thing I'd like to say. There's these crosses behind my mother's house, and I don't know if that's any significance in the Bigfoot hunting world, but I found it interesting that there would be two crosses, you know, made by, look like two skinny oak trees, you know, and it's just,
mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is those little skinny oak trees are, many of them are like bended down, and it's like, it looks like an N, you know, these little trees.
Sure.
And when the leaves all died and fell off the tree, and now things are bare, and it looks like a little bended tree trail, you know?
Sure.
So, I guess...
Well, let's open it up to the discussion period now. You stay on the line here, let me get everybody else in on it.
Okay.
And we'll go into a little discussion area here. We've got Dave Ortiz. We got Chris from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Rocky from... Rocky, you there? I'm sorry, I brought you in, if you'd like to be in there. And Tyrone from Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I had to unmute myself.
That's all right. The Gentle Giant. So here we are. So to start things off, Tyrone, you were talking about crosses. I'm assuming these are like tree formations or tree.
Yeah, tree formations. Yeah.
Yeah. So
if you get pictures of those, I'd like to see them for sure. This is Chris from Arkansas. I'm sorry.
Did you hear that, Tyrone?
Yeah. I didn't hear this question.
Oh, well,
he'd like to have pictures of it.
Oh no, I didn't. I didn't get no pictures of it. I have an iPhone here, and it's loaded to capacity or whatever, you know. And I tried to do that, but I can't get my picture the camera to work anymore. I got a these new things. I'm no good at it, you know. I'm just an old fashioned person, you know. So I don't use a whole lot of technology thing here, you know. Anyway, it was pretty well exciting to see these bended trees, and the other thing is some of these little trees were pulled out from its roots. So I'm thinking maybe the creature is actually doing it, because this was the trail where this creature is commonly seen by my folks, you know, my sister and my niece and my mother, and my sister's probably had probably a whole lot of sightings than anybody else, and it's common that they walk through the trail. Coming through my mother's house, so that's where I went down, and I found toys down the hill too, you know, wagon, the tree formations and such. So I don't know what the significance would be, but I'm sure that maybe Bigfoot is. It's a sign or something for other Bigfoots, maybe something like that. It would be some expert like Tom or his crew to interpret stuff like that.
Well, you know, with Jim Dawson coming down, Tom, and after I called and talked to Marco, Tom sent Jim Dawson down to me. And he showed me what about tree formations. And one thing that I found out, you know, just from, you know, him telling me what to look for, what, you know, what a tree formation, you know, what type of stuff that they do, you know, bending the trees and making the X formations or the crosses, as you know, sometimes they'll mark trails, and, you know, and I followed, you know, like trying to, and literally found a freshwater, like spring that, you know, that it's a spring fed pond. It's not very big, but it's in the little area of the woods I'm talking about, and it's got good water in it, and it stays water filled all year long, no matter how hot or how dry it gets. It's gonna have some water in it. And I found some really nice areas that people that, you know, have seen the pictures or whatever, they say it looks like a playground. And that's what Jim Dawson said, it looked like a Bigfoot playground. You know, that it there were tons of signs of activities around, you know, a small little patch of woods, you know, like where it's not as thick, you know, and it's surrounded by thick, but it's not as thick in this one little area. And, you know, tons of activity signs, tree formations and arches and things of that nature. But, you know, typically if you're finding a lot of tree formations in the area, there's something around there close that's significant to them, is what I've been told. So, I mean, you've got to check it out. You might be surprised what you find looking around.
Yeah, and Anthony from Virginia, Tyrone, has exactly the same thing. He found exactly the same thing as you have. He's found trees pulled up by the roots and stashed upside down in the ground or buried 2 feet in the ground, the tips of the trees, and some really weird things. The trees pushed over. I mean, you gotta. I have a. He sent a bunch of pictures. I'll have to go make sure the links are good on those. It's amazing some of the pictures that he has. And then when you come back later on now with Chris and you take a look at those. You'll see how much similar they are to what you guys have seen.
You can go to my video too. The one that's up on YouTube. The one that didn't believe. Do you believe me now? They talked about last week on the Arkansas project, and that's the one that Jim was talking about. That it's like 7 minutes long. It's me walking through that area where I was talking about. It looks like a playground. And I'm showing everything: the arches with the tips of the trees shoved down in the ground, and all the different trees that were broken and laid in a series, like in a straight line, just in the on the ground in the woods. And all around there is nothing but pine trees. I mean, even look. The other thing you can look for is naturally occurring V's in the trees. Trees that grow and split. Look in that V and look and see if they don't have a different type of tree, something that couldn't have fell from anywhere around there, stuck in the V. And look around for some of that too, because a lot of people, you know, you walk by there and you'll. You know, sometimes you don't notice things like that because, you know, you're just out in the woods and you're not actually looking. But since I have been looking, it's crazy. It's like they can't stand it. It's like if they see a naturally occurring V, they have to mess it up. They don't like it. It's like they don't – they want something else stuck in it all over the woods out there where I'm at. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you'll see an area where there's nothing but little oak trees and stuff like that, and one split, and there's a pine tree, you know, that's probably – a foot in diameter, well, it could have came from nowhere, stuck in the V of the tree.
This is something, Dave, have you had any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I've seen some like tree and stick formations in the area. There was something amazing actually north of me here on the Colorado side of the border, where there was a sapling that was put on top, probably 30 feet into an aspen, and there was it was holding up another aspen tree that had been cut by humans. And these aspen trees were about between 400 and 500 foot away that were being logged. But apparently something dragged this aspen tree, put it up on into the V of an aspen, basically, and then used a sapling at the bottom. You could see where it had been pulled out of the ground to mount this aspen in there. And what was amazing about that is that, you know, humans couldn't have done that. It would have been too dangerous to, you know, an 800-pound aspen tree to set it in there. And I did find some other things on the ground, like there was bushes that were ripped, and almost like if they were used like barriers next to a dirt road so they wouldn't be seen.
But, yeah, I've got a I've got another video on there. If you look, it says if you subscribe to my page, it say how did that tree get in that tree, and it's a whole tree all the way down to broke off. I'd say it's not real big around. It's a sapling, but it's probably I'd say at least 35 to 40 foot long, and it's
like
literally
that stuck, video.
It's like it's stuck up in like another tree and some vines hanging up. Like it's, you can tell it didn't break and land fall like that. I mean, it's pretty good video. It's on YouTube. All you've got to do is if you go to Google, you put in Chris Reed, and then put Bigfoot right behind it, and it'll come up some of my YouTube videos. I think Do You Believe Me Now will probably be the first one that pops up. It's got the most views. if you watch that one, just subscribe to my YouTube page, and it'll give you access to all my videos. And I've got vocalization videos. I've got a bunch of tree formation videos. I've got one where it put an X in my yard, where it shoved the tip of the larger stick that formed the X in the yard. It shoved it probably a good, I'd say, 9-10 inches into the ground. And, I mean, it was as big around as my forearm. And, I mean, the ground was hard. I sharpened a stick with a knife and tried to jab it in the ground, and I couldn't get it no further than probably about 4 inches. Wow. So, I mean, whatever did it had some muscle.
Yeah. I'm right on YouTube now. I see you right here. Cool.
How do you spell that?
Well, everybody, guess what? It's that time of the night again.
It's Chris Reed, R-E-E-D.
Okay.
C-H-R-I-S-R-E-E-D.
Yeah. I just wrote Bigfoot on the side, and I got you right away. Cool. Yeah, you got a great
Well, everybody, it's that time again. It's a time to say goodnight to everybody, and I want to thank everybody for coming on the show, and thank you for sharing, and thank you for sharing in the forum as well.
Thank you, Marco. Thank
you, Marco. We'll see everybody next week, and everybody keep Bigfooting. And hopefully Tom will be back next week. Take care, everybody, and good night.
Good night, Marco.
Good night, Marco.
Good
night. Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster, mystery, legend, tales, and facts.